Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Have you noticed? Against the spiritual forces of evil that's in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Isn't that good? Peace. Merry Christmas. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And think about this one today. He's the Prince. He's the Prince of Peace. Isn't that beautiful? Father, we just love you and praise you and thank you, God, for this beautiful day that we get to live in today. Today is a good day. This is a day that you've made. We rejoice today. Father, we choose to come to this place on a windy, rainy, cold California day. We've left our homes to come to this house of the Lord to meet with God. Lord, we come with purpose this morning. We come with the meaning to worship you this morning in spirit and truth. We come to listen. We pray, Lord God, you would send your spirit upon us. And that, Lord, you would touch our eyes that we might see Jesus more clearly today. And that you would touch our ears that we could hear his voice in our lives. We ask, Lord, for the power of your spirit to come upon us. We pray this would happen all for the glory of his kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And all those who love the Lord would say, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. And a big plug here, you guys, marriage retreat in a few weeks. Really good marriages are beautiful to watch. Do I hear an amen? Here's the deal. They don't grow on trees. Marriages are tough. And it takes work. And it takes tune-ups. Hey, come, sign up Sunday right after the service. Let us know that you're coming. We're going to get a chance to pour into your marriage, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Last Sunday was so awesome. The baptisms was so amazing. So a pastor's moment just with you. Thank you all for being a part of this church. Thank you all for being a part of this Jesus community. Thank you all for forgiving of your time and your talents and your treasures. What happens every week, what happened last Sunday, is a part of all of us. You pour into people's lives. You pour into eternity when you give unto the Lord in your time and talents and treasures. You are impacting the world. You're impacting people's lives. And I just want to say thank you for what you do and how you're a part of this Jesus community. So, well done, people. What happened last Sunday, that's a part of this community just being who Jesus has called us to be. So well done, my brothers and my sisters. So that's what I'm going to say. So do you guys know what today is? It's the first Sunday of February. Did you guys survive January 2024? Did you? In the midst of like dictators, Russia's invasions of Europe, dictators, Iran is causing war in the Middle East. Russia's causing war in Europe. China's threatening war on Taiwan. There's a dictator in North Korea that's a nut job with nuclear weapons. We in America are going to be experiencing an election this year. Put on your seatbelt, right? Did you guys survive January 2024? You made it, didn't you? I'll be darned. For many of you in here, I know this, you've withstood because there's been push in your life. I know. We just did a memorial service for our brother Jimmy. He's fine, right? Many of you, January was tough, but you withstand and you stand. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's from God. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to withstand, to stand. You do this, you'll survive. So you put on the sword. You put on the belt of truth, people, because truth is so important in your life. Amen? Everything revolves around truth. Righteousness. Shoes. Shoes of gospel peace. How important are shoes as we put on the armor of God? Have you ever really thought about that? How important is these shoes that Jesus is talking about? So, through Paul. So here's a great picture. So, has anyone ever given you a nickname? I'm called Howley Feet from my cousin Missy. I think I got a picture up here. I don't know, you guys got that one? There they are. So these are very special people. Steve, that's next to me, is my cousin who lives in the North Shore of Hawaii. He's the guy that was sharing Jesus with me when I wasn't a believer. At the time, he was dating this Hawaiian girl named Missy, who they later married. And whenever we go over there, she calls me Howley Feet. It's my nickname. Does anyone know what a Howley is? A Howley is a non-Hawaiian mainlander. So I'm a Howley. As a Big Bearian, you all are Flatlanders. You all live on flat land. I live in the mountains, okay? It's your nickname. We made fun of you on the ski slopes. She makes fun of me in Hawaii. She calls me Howley Feet because I would walk and I would, if I didn't have beach shoes on, I look stupid. It looks like my feet hurt. See, in Hawaii, her kids, they all grow up and they're walking on hot sand, on coral, on cliff jumping. They climb up there. They don't need beach shoes. Pastor Frank, when I go out there, Cousin Frank, she makes fun of me. Because my feet are not as callous as their feet. So that's my nickname. So here's just very important for you to know this, but whenever I go to Hawaii, I need beach shoes. Just thought I'd share that with you because it's kind of important. Hey, all of us in this room, if we're going to stand in the strength of the Lord and put on His power, we need shoes. We need to figure out how to put on the shoes of gospel peace. And this isn't a suggestion, it's a requirement. What is the shoes that God speaks to us about in Ephesians 6? Ephesians 6, people. It's the chapter. Actually, the whole book is amazing. The book of Ephesians is like a manual for Christian living. The first chapter of Ephesians speaks about who you are as a child of God and how God sees you now through His Son Jesus. And it's such an important chapter to try to figure out how to apply to your life that it's kind of cool. At one point, the Apostle Paul prays that he prays that your eyes would be enlightened that you may get this, because belief affects behavior. If you understand who you are, then you'll live your life. And he prays that you would understand the power of Christ that's been given unto you. And he prays that in Ephesians 1. And then in Ephesians 6, he says, you need to put on this power in your life. Because the world that we're fighting in, the world that we walk in each and every day, is a tough world. And if there's actually things going on in this world that you don't even see, that there is actually an enemy that's scheming on how to destroy your life. You didn't realize that you were that important, but you are. And that's, you're so important that Jesus would hang on a cross for you. You're important in the eyes of heaven. And so you prepare for the battle. Here's a great picture of just a Roman soldier. As Paul was writing this, he understood what a Roman soldier looked like. People, the belt of truth, everything revolves around truth. If you miss truth, you're done. Spiritual battles are won and lost in truth. Truth is everything. If Satan can get you to believe a lie, he'll control your life. Every piece of armor revolves around truth. The belt of truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. All truth comes from him. And as we learn to walk in truth, it's important. The breastplate of righteousness fastens into truth. Truth by itself doesn't help you. It's truth applied. You have to live out truth. You've got to live out truth. And that was last week. The righteousness of righteous living. Live righteously. Live out truth. It's important that you do this. See, the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness covers your heart. You need to have truth flowing through your heart. A messed up heart equals a messed up life. The spiritual heart is really important. It says this in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from your heart. See, if your heart's not guarded right, you're going to lose the fight. Well, how do you guard your heart? You just don't know truth. You apply truth. You live out who God's called you to be. You live out who you are as a child of God. You live it out in righteous living. And as you do that, you're guarding your soul, man. It's so important. Righteous living protects you. See, we learn to do that. It's called this thing called progressive sanctification. Watch the sermon of last Sunday. Okay, so here's the deal. The shoes that Paul is referring to is not beach shoes. Okay? But they're Roman combat boots. Check this out. These Roman shoes had cleats on the bottom of them. They're like baseball shoes. They were made to grip. These are not beach shoes, people. The Jewish historian Josephus talks about the Roman soldier and the shoes that he wore. They were unique because they would grip. In the midst of fighting, people, you don't want to slip if you're in a fight, right? So you grip in there and you fasten yourself with these shoes. Really cool. So take notes with me this morning. Here's the first note for you to just stir into your soul. Write this down. The armor of God involves the shoes of gospel of peace. Gospel shoes. Gospel shoes. How's your footing in the gospel of peace? How's your footing? Are you good with this? The gospel means good news. Are you cleated in with the good news of peace? Are you locked into this? So, it's so fun. You know what I get to do? I love what God's called me to do. In baptisms, in weddings, in memorial services, in praying with people that accept Christ. I get to open the scriptures and study the Word of God. I get to open commentaries and enter in. This last week is so cool. I want to read you what this literally says in a literal translation. This is what this says. Check this out. And having shod yourselves as to the feet in readiness of the gospel of peace. There's the literal translation. What do you think about that? And having shod yourselves as to the feet in readiness of the gospel of peace. And the commentaries are like, this wording is really hard to get a hold of. These words are loaded. What is the readiness or the preparation? The word is used to prepare a ship, to tackling, to sail. Check this out. When you think about this, you need to think of an old sailing ship in a harbor. Because this, it's readying itself. It's readying itself. It's shodding, it's preparing for the journey. What this scripture says is by putting on these shoes, it's like, it's not just walking in them, you're readying them. for the journey. It's interesting how it's written. It speaks of readying for the journey as well as sailing into the journey. So preparing yourself in harbor of putting on the shoes of gospel peace so then you can sail into the world every day. It's like putting on your combat boots in preparation for the battle every day. So, but this readiness, what does that mean? This readying. It's interesting because it's not just talking about the fight itself, but preparing for the fight. Which is logical, people, because you can't bring the gospel of peace to the world if you don't have it yourself. You can't bring peace to the world if you don't have it yourself. Right? Take notes of me this morning. This is logical. You must be at peace with God to experience the peace of God. That's profound. You should write that down. You must be at peace with God in order to experience the peace of God. So God has peace to give you. But you don't get it if you're not at peace with Him. Pastor Frank, I'm not experiencing the peace of God in my life. Well, are you at peace with God? Or even the better question is God at peace with you? Is God at peace with you today? There He is, and there you are. Is God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, is God at peace with you today? So I brought something very special in my life today. I brought my first Bible 20-some years ago, 30-some years ago. In my early 20s, I began reading this. Really began reading this. I found in this Bible the teachings of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Pastor Frank, as I was reading this, I was not a pastor. I was a pretty good sinner. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in a creator. But through God's journey, someone gave me this Bible and I began reading it. And I figured I should understand who Jesus is because He's a very influential person in human history. And any intelligent person should at least read Him. So I'm beginning to read Jesus. And I opened the Gospel of Matthew, began reading the Gospel of Matthew. And when I hit these words that I'm about to read to you just ruin me. It's in Matthew chapter 7. He says these words. 21. Jesus says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out many demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, and here it is underlined in the green, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I underlined that. I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I began thinking to myself, if this Jesus is real, I'm in trouble. It's so funny. I look back on myself. So I'm an atheist. Okay, people, you would really enjoy talking with me in my early 20s because I would tell you that I don't believe in God, but then I would say, but if there is one, certainly He'll let me in heaven because I'm a really good person. Because I don't do as many drugs as she does, and I don't say the F word as much as he does. And so if there is a God, I'm totally in because I'm a good person. And I look back on myself, and it's so funny how I justified my life and created the rules in which people get to go into heaven, and by coincidence, I get in. Isn't that nice? Do you know what I did? I broke the first commandment. You will have no other God. I created a God, and I created heaven, and I get in. Truth. I'm living a lie. And the word that gets me in this is practice. You people, I didn't struggle in doing bad stuff. I practiced to get better at it. How can I get drunk quicker? How can I practice? I wasn't struggling. I'm practicing. And what hits me with this is Jesus is saying, there are people that think they're coming and they're not. And they practice evil. When I first read this, I went, you know what? If this Jesus is real, I'm in trouble. If I began to realize for the first time in my life that God is, if there is this God, he's not cool with me. And he's not at peace with me. And it scared me. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What does that mean? Hell. H-E-L-L. Jesus used the words. A Christless eternity. Does the stakes just get heavy? If this Jesus is real, I'm in a lot of trouble. These words rocked me. And I love reading my Bible because I'm the young 20-some-year-old reading these words, and now here I am all these years later. My eyes are hitting the same pages and remembering just the feelings that was going through my mind. We must be at peace with God in order to experience the peace of God. We must be at peace with God to experience the peace of God. I have to be at peace with Him first in order to experience the peace that He gives me. People, are you at peace with God? Or the better question is God at peace with you? God is not at peace with you outside of judgment paid for your unrighteous deeds before a holy God. God is not at peace with you outside of your unrighteous deeds being paid through a holy God. See, one of the reasons why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, because he offers God's peace to us through him. Did you all get that? He's called the Prince of Peace. Here's the deal. Outside of Christ, God is not cool with you. And he's not at peace with you. But the Prince of Peace is prophesied in Isaiah 9. He's called the Prince of Peace because Jesus offers you peace with God through himself. This is called the good news. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, there having been justified, a beautiful word, it means not guilty. It's like you've never sinned. Having been justified by faith in Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? I'm at peace with God. Or even better, God is now at peace with you through his Son and what he did for you on the cross. See, Jesus takes all of your stuff that offends God and he takes it upon himself and he pays your penalty. It's like you did a crime and he paid for your crime so you could be set free. He's the Prince of Peace because Jesus offers you peace with God through what he does for you upon a cross. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf that you would become the righteousness of God. You've been justified by faith in Christ. Therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God. Isn't that beautiful? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we what? We stand. Guess on what type of shoes you're standing on? Gospel shoes. We're standing on this. I have peace with God. It's the good news of Jesus paying our debts. He's called the Prince of Peace because he offers us peace. People, do you understand this? Because if you don't get this, you're not going to have peace in this world. Any lasting peace. Write this down. Here's a note for us. Note number 3. Peace with God is only found through trusting in Christ. This is a part of the firm foundation. So don't slip on this, right? Don't slip on this one. We stand, we're gripped in this firm foundation of the gospel of good news, the gospel of peace. The gospel shoes grounds us in this peace that we have with God through Jesus. And this is not peace that you achieve, it's peace that you, what? Receive. You don't work for this peace, people. That's every other religion on planet Earth. You don't achieve peace with God. You receive it. For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth upon him will not perish but have everlasting life. People, we receive this from God. It's not something that I earn. It's something that was, I just receive it. I don't earn it. It's beautiful. How's your feet? Are they gripped in this one? Or have you tightened your shoes down on this one? It's important. If you haven't tightened your shoes down and you're in a fight and you slip and fall, you're going to get beat up. You got to be stable in this. That's a part of this thing. These wording is so cool. It says you got to prepare. You got to stir this in. How can you bring peace if you don't have peace? Pastor Frank, I would just have peace if I had a better job. Pastor Frank, I would have peace if I had more money. Pastor Frank, I would have peace if my kids acted better. Pastor Frank, I would have peace if my spouse treated me better. Okay. Huh. But real peace is found from within. The peace that Jesus brings to us is from the inside out. It's not the outside in. Do I hear an amen? This is the peace that Jesus is speaking of. Pastor, I would have peace if, and it's all external. I get it. Yeah, probably. But this eternal peace, this everlasting peace, it's not outside in, it's inside out. Here's a really cool verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:23. I love the sequence of peace. Check this out. Now may the God of peace, isn't that beautiful? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. That's stir it in. That's that progressive sanctification. Stir in this peace. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may, notice the flow, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. Did y'all catch that? Where does peace come from? Spirit, soul, outside. The peace that God speaks of is an internal peace. A peace that Jesus speaks of. And John, the night before Jesus goes to the cross, and he's talking with his disciples, and he says, this is in John 14:27, which is so beautiful. He says, peace I leave with you. Jesus, imagine Jesus saying this the night before he went and did that. The night before he hangs on this for 6 hours, paying for all my bad stuff. The night before he's going to the cross, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives. Do I hear an amen? It's an internal peace. It's not external. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Isn't that beautiful? This peace that Jesus has given us is from the inside out. And this is where true peace comes from. It's not peace in buying something or dating somebody or titles or houses or Tesla stock, which is now tanking a little bit. It's not external, it's internal. A peace that surpasses all understanding that would guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. A peace that surpasses all understanding that guards your hearts and guards your minds in Christ Jesus. A peace in the midst of chaos. An internal peace. As Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, he's at peace and he wants you to have his peace. This is an internal peace. The world was a mess. It was then and it is now. Peace of tranquility in the midst of outside trouble. That's a great definition of biblical peace. You should write that down, even though it's not in your notes. Peace of tranquility in the midst of outside trouble. A peace of tranquility in the midst of outside trouble. The world is filled with it. It's beautiful, man. Romans is good. In Romans 5, it says, we have peace with God. That's Romans 5, okay? And this peace that Jesus gives us is peace between us and God. And as we begin following Jesus, he begins teaching us how to walk in peace. To not just have peace with God, but to have peace with us. Are you, to be at peace with you? Do you look in the mirror and are you cool with you? You know, God has forgiven you from the cross and you're justified. It's just like you never did anything. Paid in full. And now Jesus, do you know that Jesus commands you to forgive everybody? It's a commandment. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. That you stir that in, that's righteous living, right? When you learn, see, you know, I talk about this. The person I struggle most in forgiving is me. I get so mad at Frank Winans. And there's times in my life when I look in the mirror and go, there's the enemy, you know? And I hear Jesus saying, Frankie, I forgive you. Why can't you forgive you? You're right, Lord. When you walk with Jesus, you just want to have peace with God. If you walk with him long enough, he'll teach you how to have peace with you. Do you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? You're special in the eyes of God? You're not garbage. You're beautiful. You're all made in his image. You are valuable. Let yourself go. Forgive you. Would you let yourself off your own hook? So many people, I'm never forgive. You let them. See, this is this peace. See, you stir in this peace with God. And then this peace just flows, begins to flow in your life. And I love this in Romans 12:18. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That's beautiful. Peace with God. Or is God at peace with you? He is. Wow, that's awesome. God's at peace with me through Jesus? Whew. I'm at peace with God, so now I can experience the peace of God. This peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that's not of the world, but it's from with the inside out. And this peace, as I begin to stir it in righteousness, I learn to be at peace with myself, be at peace with other people as much as it depends on you, right? Let it go. It's this flow of peace from the inside out. True lasting spiritual peace begins inside. And then it flows from there. People, understanding everything I've just said to you is part of that internal readiness or preparation of putting on the shoes of gospel peace so you can walk into the world because you've been firmly foundationed into this gospel peace. That's the first half. How you doing? How's your shoes? Did you know that your shoes bring peace? Every lady would say amen. You put these on. It's the preparation, right? And once you have this deep within your soul, now walk. Sail into the world. Walk into the challenges of each day. In Ephesians 6, it says, it talks about this present darkness. Does anyone notice there's darkness in the world? Anyone? Anyone? Do you know who Jesus says who you are? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus says, may people see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know who Jesus says who you are in this dark world as his disciple, as his follower, as a person who's been made given peace with God, teaching you to have peace with yourselves? Jesus says to walk into the world and be a peacemaker. Does the world need more peacemakers? Answer, oh my goodness. You have a unique calling on planet Earth. You are a representative of heavenly peace in this world. But you can't bring it if you don't have it. Do I hear an amen? The world needs Jesus. We need Jesus even more than we know. People, you are an ambassador of his kingdom. This is a part of putting on the armor of God. You're an ambassador of the gospel of peace. Check this out. Isaiah 52:7, written 700 years before Jesus was born. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, not war, who bring good tidings, who proclaim, beautiful, here's the salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the one. The Apostle Paul, who's a Pharisee, a Jewish theologian, takes that and writes it in Romans 10, verse 15. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. These feet have shoes. These feet have shoes. They're called gospel shoes. These feet have a beautiful grip. You hold the line as you bring good news to people. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, people, use words. Does the world need you right now? Take notes with me. Here's a great note. Note number 5 says, a part of putting on the shoes of gospel peace is embracing his calling in our lives to bring his message to a dark world. It's the preparation and the sailing. It's tightening the shoes up. It's like putting on baseball shoes and then go play the game. It's like putting on military boots to go fight. It's like prepare the ship, but you don't stay in the harbor. You go out and sail. A part of putting on the shoes of gospel peace, it's embracing his calling in our lives to bring his message to a dark world. And here's my last picture for the day. This one's special in my life. Because there's my cousin Steve sitting just right next to me. And there is a sinner named Frank Winans. Notice my friend Kent, I think he's got a beer up. So this is in 1984. And I went over to Hawaii and we about sunk the island the first week on booze cruises. I'm just lost, people. So if anybody has a neighbor, if anybody has a relative that lives on the north shore of Oahu and says, hey, you're coming to Hawaii, stay 1 week later and come live with me for a week. The answer is always, yes. He has a house on the beach that he's renting, and you walk off the house onto the beach and there's the Bonsai Pipeline. Steve's a big wave surfer. My cousin Steve's a cool dude. He went to surf in Hawaii in 1978 for the summer and never came home. He surfs big waves. Waimea, Pipeline. This guy is very quiet, very reserved. My cousin Steve. So I go over there, and he has us come over and stay with him. I'm bringing three of my best friends, and we're over there. And man, we're having a great time. He's teaching us how to snorkel, and he took us out deep sea fishing. We're out catching waves with him. He's teaching us windsurfing. He took us to Goat's Island, Sheep's Island, all these like local places that you know, Howleys don't normally go to. He's introducing us to Missy, his girl he's dating. And on Saturday night, he says, do you want to go to church with me tomorrow? And I sat in my mind and went, ah. And I used a bad word in my brain. I said, he's a Christian. Stink. And I felt so obligated. And I'm like, man, He had a beer with us. He didn't, I mean, I was cussing around him, drinking around him, smoking around him, just being an idiot. I didn't know. And then he asked me to go to church, and I felt so obligated. And I'm like, I remember my buddies, I'm not going. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go. So Sunday morning, we go to church, North Shore Christian Fellowship, North Shore of Oahu. We showed up late. It's a tent at Waimea Falls. People were singing. People were praising Jesus. I sat in the back like this, observing. First time I've been to church as an adult. Do you know what you people had that I didn't? Peace. I didn't have it. I had none of it. I drove a Corvette. My father was a wealthy man to some degree. And I mean, I grew up with blessings, and I grew up in just dark stupidity of my own soul. And actually, three of my friends had died within the last 6 months, right before I was even on this. And I was just feeling really empty and freaked out a little bit. And Steve takes me to church. And I'm looking around, and you guys kept talking about Jesus. What's Jesus doing in your life? I'm like, he's dead. It'd be like George Washington's doing this. You people just scared me. And I remember going home in the car, and he had a 72 Nova, and in Hawaii, it's just being rusted away. I could see the street through the floorboard, okay? And I'm like, Steve, what do you believe again? He goes, Frankie, and here it comes. His shoes were so beautiful. He told me about Jesus. He says, Frankie, this is what I believe. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's the baptisms that Jesus is the prophesied one. There is a God who made us in his image. And he shared Christ with me. And you know what? I listened to him because I respected him. We had a friendship. We had a relationship. And man, people, did I push back. Man, Steve, but what about this? And what about that? And I was laying back into him for like the whole day. What about this? And he just was just kind. He didn't slip. I leaned into him, and he just had an amazing footing. He shared Christ with me. And not just in words, but with his life. Whenever I think of this, here you go. Two last scriptures. Here it is. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ as Christ the Lord is holy. Have you done that? That's who he is, right? Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. That's a great verse. But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. That's my friend Steve. That's my cousin Steve Mock. That's him. 1 Corinthians 3:5-7 says, Paul is speaking about this church in Corinth, and they were saying, well, all these great Christian people have come into our lives. I follow Billy Graham. I follow Chuck Smith. I follow Rick Warren. I follow whoever, right? Tim Keller. Back then it was a guy named Apollos. And Paul says, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. What is that saying? God is the person who saves people, not you. Your job is to plant and water. Tell the good news. Give a defense for the hope that lies within you. But it's not your job to save people. Amen? Does that take the pressure off? Steve, I know, I've talked with Steve later. He knows I'm a pastor. Steve says, Frank, you probably think I walk on water. I go, no, Steve, I know you don't. He says, man, I could tell that you guys are pretty messed up when you came. He said, I just prayed that night, I'm going to ask these guys to go to church with me tomorrow because I'm going and maybe God will bring somebody. And he just, that's all he did. And that he goes, man, I'm going to church tomorrow. Does anyone want to go? He prayed for me. I went. I was impressed. I was like, you people have something I haven't been able to figure out. And man, did I push. And he just, his shoes were so good, just took it right back. Steve says, Frank, when you left, I just prayed for you. I just prayed for you. I went back to the mainland, went to work on a construction crew in Big Bear that summer, and a guy named Dave gave me this Bible as he began sharing Jesus with me. And that's my story. Very skeptical. Frank, you seem to be an intelligent man. Have you ever read the Bible? No. If I gave you one, would you? He tricked me. So he gave me this one. And I opened it, read Genesis, and went, what? I said, where in this thing is Jesus? Because that's what everybody keeps talking about. He goes, oh, it's broken into two parts. Here you go. And for the rest of that summer, I was reading Jesus. And there I am in Matthew 7, thinking, I'm in great shape. Well, if there is a God, I'm a really good person. And then there's the words. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't think God's at peace with me. If this thing's real, I've got some issues. No kidding. You cannot have the peace of God until you have peace with God. Are you at peace with God? The better question is even this. Is God at peace with you? He's not, except through His Son and what He did for you on the cross. You don't earn God's peace, you receive it. It's a gift. What Jesus did on the cross for you wasn't because you earned it. It's love. Do you understand this, church? Do you get this? Does this make sense? These are the shoes you're supposed to put on every day of your standing with God through Messiah, and now go live your life. Peace. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters in here would understand this totally. I pray, Lord God, that my brothers and sisters in here, that their minds today would dwell upon spiritual truth and that these words would find a place deep within their soul. Lord, I pray that you would cause growth in our lives that we might understand these incredible things that's been given to us. Help us, Lord, to understand what this armor is and how we're to put it on every day in order to survive in this world that you've placed us upon. God, help us to embrace this calling of who we are as your children. Help us, Lord. I pray that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we might understand this hope that's been given to us and the surpassing power that's been laid upon us through the Messiah. Lord, help us to understand this, and Lord, help us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Help us, God, to put on the full armor of God that we might be able to stand firm in the evil day. God, tighten our belts today in truth, for the truth will set us free. Lord, put on righteousness upon our lives. God, help us not just to know truth, but to live it out in our lives. And Lord, how important is it as we walk in this world that people that would see us would see that we're ambassadors of a heavenly kingdom and we're the ambassadors of peace. That God, you offer peace to the world through your Son, and we get to tell people in word, action, thought, and deed. Lord, what a privilege it is for us in the 2024 to be living on planet Earth at this time, in this incredibly dark world, that we get to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Lord, what a privilege. Help us, Jesus, to stir this in. I pray this for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. Amen. Let's